We covered last week the first four of these. Again, these are the 10 unchangeables. They're not original with me. I did put a lot of study and meat on this, as you can see. I've never sat through the lessons that the Children's Institute taught. This isn't an endorsement for or against anything else that ATI or the Advanced Training Institute has taught. I know there's different opinions and views. I think this is outstanding. These are a list of 10 things that you have no control over in your life. These are things that you have no influence over. They're a fact of life, okay? So the first four is what we looked at last week. My physical features and capacities. God designed you physically, short or tall, wide or thin, brunette, blonde, red, curly. It's funny, but I mentioned last week, we have our second oldest daughter, Hannah, has curly hair. She wishes it was straight, and then everybody else, at least in history, wants curly hair, right? So, but there's all different kinds. You have thin hair, thick hair, little hair, lots of hair. Some people keep their hair until they're 110. My oldest son, Nathan, I have more hair than he does. Okay, it's not a competition, but I just like to point that out. But you don't really, you know, unless you do something externally, you don't have control over that. I list a whole bunch of things. Nose, mouth, size, complexion, your ears, big ears, little ears. I think I mentioned last week, as little boys, we always got what we called butches, right? Dad would buzz off the hair to a short level, and our ears would be very distinguished at that point. Looked like radar stations walking around. Ears, hair, hands, birthmarks, eyes, scars, feet, skin color, chin, face, health, your general health. Some people, like me, have bad knees, bad backs, all of that. I have worn glasses since I was in the fifth grade, and that was a long, long time ago now. Lots of things, handicaps, bone structure. You can have big bones or little bones, long bones, brittle bones. You might have, and this goes along with it too, but athletic ability. I wasn't blessed with much of that at all. Much of that. That's even an overstatement. I was blessed with very, very little athletic ability. Height, even metabolism, right? And some of that even changes over time. But God designs all of that. Now, that doesn't mean you don't have some influence over it, but even then, you can only be a superstar basketball player or football player if God gave you something to start with. That's a fact. You can only be a superstar guitar player or piano player if God gave you something to start with physically. Okay? But even mentally, we're going to talk about that next in our number five. But your physical features and capacities are not something you chose. And there's only at some level so much you can be proud of because you had nothing to do with that. Right? You can leverage what you have, but you cannot leverage what you do not have. And you only have what you have because God gave it to you. Okay? Number two, your parents. And I add ancestors. It talks about your mom and dad. But I also add your ancestors. But you don't choose your mom or dad. Even if you're adopted, you didn't choose your mom or dad. Your biological parents were chosen for you by God. Okay? And even if you're adopted, your biological parents don't change. Sometimes people are adopted when they're older, so they might have a little bit of negotiating power when they're, but not your biological parents. And by the way, that might have a great influence on number one. I've shared before, but I've worked with a few people because of the whole ancestry DNA thing where I've been contacted and said, I don't know any other blood relative. I was adopted out, but I'm connected to your tree somehow. Right? How would you like to be like that? Where you've never seen someone that physically is related to you. Most of us have parents, siblings, children, even cousins. No. Right? But you have that, but also your ancestors. What they went through, what they earned or did not earn. Right? Because that affects your economic status and all of that even. It's a little easier to farm if you inherit a farm. We had a friend of our oldest daughter and her husband over. His name was Rufus. Over for Thanksgiving Day. He's from Liberia. Liberia's a nation that was established by the United States to repatriate slaves. So most of the people in Liberia, their relatives came from the United States. They might have African roots, but they came from here. And in fact, it's probably one of the more conservative nations on earth right now because we helped establish it. But where was I going with this? Parents and ancestors. Rufus is trying to move here permanently. He's been here for 3 years. He has 5 children in Liberia that he's trying to save up to bring over. But all of that, ancestors move and come over. Right? But he doesn't have a whole lot to his name. But your ancestors came here from somewhere. How many know of your ancestors in detail? I mean, not family rumors. But you know specifically someone who came overseas on a boat. Yeah. Some of them aren't even very recent. Some of them are much more recent. But their choices even then, that's why you weren't born in Europe, and that might be why you were born at all. Because your ancestors met the other side, the wife or husband, and that's why you're here today. Okay? But that makes a lot. Their spiritual condition, how many are generational Christians? In other words, your Christianity, as far as your ancestors, they were believers or appear to be believers. I mean, some people, you get where their ancestors, you know, the daddy was a preacher and great-grandpa was a preacher and great-great-grandpa, you know, kind of stuff like that too. But there's some of that heritage that makes a difference. When I studied genealogy, it's funny when Francis and Nathaniel get married in 1861, Francis Subra, married Nathaniel Marshall at the parsonage of the Baptist pastor in Jefferson County, New York. Right? That doesn't guarantee it, but it kind of makes my heart flutter a little bit. Right? Doesn't guarantee. By the way, that's people used to get married that way. It wasn't a big deal at a church. You got married small and went and visited your relatives, right? Their economic level, like I said, and their successes and failures. If you were in the adult class Sunday, or if you're going to be in the younger classes the next 2 weeks, or this Sunday for the adult class yet, Jephthah, his ancestral history plagued him, even though he had no choice. He didn't choose to be in the situation he was in. He had no say about it. And yet his half-siblings castigated him. They sent him off. Right? So, again, that's not something you chose, but it's amazing what God could do with an outcast. Right? Brothers and sisters, now, few people have gone so far, you know, you don't choose your brothers and sisters, and you can have some influence, and I'm just telling you, there are options, because Joseph's brothers did sell him. I'm not suggesting that as a valid option, but it doesn't change your relationship to them. right? I remember growing up. Yes, I grew up. But when I was growing up, some of my classmates, their older brothers were in Vietnam. They were drafted into the military or whatever. You know, they might have been 10 years older or whatever, but they were in the military. Over in the, South Vietnam. But, again, depending on what your situation is, it's different if you're an only child than if you're one in a large family. It's different if you grow up with a batch of girls than a batch of boys. I'm telling you, if you don't know that, it's different. Okay? Even in our family, I've shared this before, but there was one time when I stopped. We were at a dinner table with our family, and I stopped, and I had six daughters at the table. And every daughter was talking to, I think, every other daughter. This is, there's no stretch here at all. And I stopped for a minute, and I observed that I said, "Hey!" And finally we got everything quieted down. And I said, "Do you realize everyone's talking and no one's listening?" And they said, "Oh, Dad, we can understand each other. We're doing, you know, this is girl thing. We could do this." And I said, so I clarified that day as a male that if you want to talk to me, it's one at a time. Right? Because I can't carry on six conversations at the same time. But they apparently were, and to some degree, I believe that they still are today, right? Whenever they're together. As the balance of power moved from male to female, it turned into like belching contests and stuff like that. I'm saying gals versus guys. There's a difference, right? So, brief power struggles, but anyway. But brothers and sisters, some of them are different. Every child I have of the 15 is different. Some of them have similar likes and dislikes. But even I grew up with a family of four kids, and I was closer to my sister than I was my two brothers growing up, because we probably had more in common. We weren't athletic like my two brothers were, for example. But that changes things. And then natural brothers and sisters, or if you have adopted ones. My oldest daughter has two adopted daughters from China. And that'll change their life. And they have changed their lives. Attitudes of each, the health and abilities of each, or the relationship, those all make a difference. You don't choose your brothers or sisters, even when you want to. Right? And I used to say I wouldn't give away my kids, or I wouldn't sell my kids for anything, but a weak moment I'd give them away. But I really wouldn't give them away. I wouldn't trade anything for what I have. My ethnicity and national heritage. Now, this is a little different, but do you know what you're made up of? As far as your, if you know where you came from, your ancestors, that gives you an idea, maybe. Right? Everyone thinks they have some Indian in them, American Indian. Few people actually do. Right? Even those that do, it's such a tiny amount from a DNA standpoint. But your ethnicity, you don't change that. You don't choose that. Some people fake that on occasion. We see that in the news some. But you don't have any choice about that. You're whatever. I took an ancestry DNA test and I was surprised that I was 11% Irish or possibly Scottish. I don't know how they divide it all up. And British is different than Irish and Scottish. And I'm 17% Scandinavian. Who knew? I didn't know anything about that. But you really don't know. And that, by the way, we're all from the same ancestors ultimately, right? We're all related. But you know what? It is different if you have darker skin and you're in an area where there's mostly white people. White as in lighter skin people. Or the other way around. We went to San Antonio, Texas last fall for Stephen's graduation from the Air Force basic training. And we went to a Chinese buffet. I don't think there were hardly any Chinese there, but everyone in there was Hispanic, except us. And it was like a massive eating place, right? So then we kind of knew what it felt like. We didn't really care, but it was an observational thing, you know. But some people, it does make a difference. I shared my roommates from last week from the military. One guy swore up and down that every person of lighter skin, what he'd call a whitey or a cracker, was a card-carrying member of the KKK. That's the way he was brought up. He hated white people. Right? It makes a difference, your ethnicity and even where you're at. If you're in Brazil or something, that wouldn't even be an issue. Skin color isn't that significant anywhere else, but it seems like in the United States right now. Anyway, on the back side of that is where we left last week. So that's, I didn't, the lines, by the way, are just things to add to the list if you want. That, there's nothing to fill in here unless you want to add things that come to mind that would be related to that. But your mental abilities. One of the things I think we, and maybe it's American, and maybe it's just being human, but we like to pride ourselves because of what we know. And how we can think, or how well we do math, or how well we know history, or whatever. But you know what? To a large degree, you didn't choose the capacity for that. Some people are really good at math without trying. My dad was really good at math. He used to correct his math teacher, which meant that probably his math teacher was not very good at math. Right? He just was good. He could calculate in his head and do all kinds of stuff. But a lot of that is given to you, your ability to process information. Notice here, my mental abilities, natural aptitudes. You might have an aptitude. I have an aptitude for language to some degree. I'm a word guy. Okay? You might have an aptitude for art or music, and I'm not saying they're exclusive. You might have an aptitude for art and music and words. I'm not so well blessed that way. Learning experiences. You know, the fact that you grew up in the United States, regardless of how you were trained in school, probably puts you in the top 0.001% of all the people of all time as far as education goes. Most people never got any kind of education at the level that we've had here. And I'm just talking, if you graduated the eighth grade, you probably were better. Because a lot of people just never got that. So learning experiences, and again, you didn't really choose those. You can modify them some, your parents might modify them some, but a lot of it is what's available to you where you happen to be at. By the way, that's the nationality part. If you grow up like national heritage, if you grow up in the United States, it's completely different than if you grow up someplace else. That's why people are trying to come in rather than break out, right? Mental limitations, there's things you may or may not be able to do or do well. Talents and skills, and again, they can be polished to some degree, but there's a certain amount of natural ability that God has to bless you with. I've shared before that I've had 5 years of piano lessons. I enjoy music. I like music. I even understand music to some degree. But I could never make all of those 10 fingers. And then the teacher had the audacity to want me to move my feet too. And it just didn't. I mean, I get how it's supposed to work. And maybe I didn't practice like I was supposed to. But at some level, Kevin wasn't meant to play the piano at least well. And I don't think even with all the practice in the world, I would ever be any kind of accomplished pianist because I don't have the natural ability. I've even written a few songs, so it's not a lack of enjoyment or whatever. It just doesn't work through my hands. So I resorted to a 3-button trumpet, 1 note at a time. That worked for me. Okay, but again, other people, I've sat down to try and learn the guitar before. And my fingers don't even shape right. And yet, my daughter Carissa picked it up one day, and 2 weeks later, she was playing here at church. I don't have that problem. Right? I can't do that. Some people, have you ever met people that they can't read a note on the piano, but they play the piano? I knew a guy that he couldn't read music, but he played through the table of contents of a hymnal. He just played. That's a gift of God. No one ever taught him how. He just sat down and started, you know, eventually plinking or whatever. But he was able to play the piano, but never had a lesson. Couldn't read music. He couldn't say, here, can you play this so we can sing it? He goes, what's the song? And he could play it. Right? I don't even get that. I don't see how that could even happen, but it does. That's a capacity. That's a mental capacity that God works with people, and even passions. My dad was a banker. Like you said, he was really good with numbers. He started out as one who helped farmers buy farm equipment. He worked in the accounting part of a farm implement dealership, and then ended up going into banking. But he was really good. He helped people borrow money for houses or cars or later on companies and things like that. My two brothers were in that field. My older brother was a banker. My younger brother is a certified public accountant. And I usually got better grades than him in math. But you would have to hold a gun to my head to make me want to be an accountant. That's not my passion. It's not an ability thing. I just don't want to do that. Now, every church I've gone to, I've helped them set up a budget and work through accounting kind of stuff and all that. But there's an end to it. It's not what I do all day. Right? I want you to look at the sheet that we first handed out. Anyone not have that? The song sheet? Lynn made a few more. So raise your hand very high up here. Eliana. Jonathan, do you need one?
Yeah.
Okay. Anyone else? We got enough now, so raise your hand. It's the one with the song on the back. Raise your hand high. Don't be shy. What I want you to look at, and this is something it was in a counseling mailing years ago, I think from Jay Adam or something, and he had copied it from somebody else. He quoted it from here in 1989. I was drawn to this, and I've always remembered it. I don't think I've ever handed it out to anyone. I've referenced it, but let me read this here. According to Harvard psychologist Howard Gardner, author of Frames of Mind, The Theory of Multiple Intelligences, conventional intelligence testing and traditional grading in schools are not fair to all children, noting that most North American schools focus only on two kinds of intelligence. I can say that intelligence. Linguistic, which is what? Words or speech, and mathematical, adding, subtracting, multiplying, dividing, that whole fractions thing, whatever that is. You know, algebra, geometry. Gardner suggests that schools fail to recognize the other kinds of intelligences. So here's the seven that he lists. And listen, this is not inspired. So I would even suggest that there are probably more. This is the way this guy named Howard Gardner divides them up. Linguistic intelligence, which was already mentioned, a sensitivity to the meaning and order of words. Good writers, readers, maybe even interpreters and translators and all of that, okay? But just even the idea of someone says participle. As a younger child, I just would glaze over because there were too many P words. There were particles and participles and predicates, and none of it made any sense till I got to college and studied, funny enough, Greek, right? But some people are really good at that. And eventually, when I had an instructor actually explain it and help me understand it, I think I got pretty good at it. The second one is logical or mathematical intelligence. And it's not saying you only have one of these. So don't marry yourself to a list. I'll say more about that in a little bit on another point. But ability in math and other complex logical systems, you can figure things out. And I always say, you know, you hear a lot of people say, why do we study math? And I said, because math teaches you to reason. It teaches you to think. I go to my chiropractor and he says, yet another day when I haven't used algebra. Yeah, but logic is something you use every day. Even if it's just you exercise that part of the brain using math and now you use it for different reasons. But that's good. But notice the rest now that we aren't as familiar with musical intelligence. I've already mentioned that. The ability to understand and create music. And by the way, that's not the same as playing music. How does Beethoven write a symphony when he's deaf? Thinking in multiple notes and not just multiple notes, but multiple instruments. Really? That's musical. And I'm saying there's different levels or shades of this kind of intelligence. You might be really good or you have a little bit of that or whatever, but that's a different kind of intelligence. And we only measure whether you're good with words and whether you're good with math. I'm simplifying. But what if you're good at music, but you're not good at words or math? It's a different kind of intelligence. Spatial intelligence, the ability to think in pictures, to perceive the visual world accurately and recreate it in the mind or in visual form. That a lot of this can relate to drawing or engineering. Different things than that. It doesn't mean you have to become an engineer. You might just be really good at decorating your home because you have spatial intelligence. You see symmetry, how things are even or uneven, and how they look nice and all of that. The ability, number five, bodily kinesthetic intelligence. Bodily means your body, of course, but kinesthetic is your body in motion. Okay? Daniel's got me watching a little more football. I'm not really big into football, but we watch some football. But when you see some of these guys, they're at the end zone, and they just like stick a hand out almost without looking and grab a football out of the blue. That's magic. Right? Or people that know how to roll or wrestle or run, and they just know how to do it. We even mentioned last week, as far as a body, we mentioned even sometimes people's bodies are formed like Michael Phelps. Again, I watched a documentary around the time, wasn't the last Olympics, but the Olympics before that. But they said his body could not be better designed for swimming. He'd be a lousy runner. But he has the perfect body for a swimmer. That ties in with number one. But also he knows how to leverage that here. This bodily kinesthetic intelligence, the ability to use one's body in a skilled way for expression or to achieve a goal. Okay, and again, to me, these are so limiting yet because I think acting is a little bit of this. It's not all of it, because acting can be words. Acting can be music, right? They can combine, but there's different things here. Number six, interpersonal intelligence. If you've ever met a person that's a people person, they just get along with everybody. They know what to say and when to say it. And then you have other people that don't. My kids won't even answer the phone. No, really, at the Subaru house, the phone's ringing. You know what's going on. You can picture this in your mind now. Every time you call our house, one of the children is running, carrying the phone to somebody else. We're like, answer the phone. It's like, but there's a people on the other end. No, they're not that backward in person, right? You've met some of them. Some of them you probably haven't met yet because they're shy or whatever. No, they'll do it. Every kid will tell you that's exactly what happens. Yeah, right? But interpersonal intelligence, you can perceive and understand other people, their moods, their desires, and their motivations. That makes a difference. How many have ever gone to a doctor that has no bedside manner? I've told you about when I cut my knuckles one time working late in Indiana and cut them right to the bone, right, with a grinder. And Maybe the guy is nice every other day of the week, but because I got him out of bed maybe late in the evening, it was 11 something at night, I went to an emergency care, whatever, urgent care kind of thing. This guy was really mean to my hand. He was just, you know, it's like, I don't know if he missed his favorite show or I just got him out of bed or he thought I was an idiot because I don't know why, but, you know, he didn't have interpersonal intelligence at least then, right? But it makes a difference. And there's interpersonal and intrapersonal intelligence, the ability to be introspective and understand one's own emotions. My daughter that has curly hair also is one of these kind of people. She's a word person, but she very insightful and introspective. Some people have no idea what's going on the inside, and they don't care. Squirrel, you know, what goes inside doesn't really matter. As long as they're busy on the outside, right? They're more kinesthetic or whatever. And even the way you learn makes a difference. Some people learn with music. Some people learn with seeing. Some people learn with doing. Some people learn with hearing. Some people just can't learn. I don't think that's true. But comment at the bottom here. This is my addition to that. Though we hesitate to adopt such firm man-made categories or to limit the options to such a list, we can definitely agree that God makes people with different abilities, talents, knacks, capacities, passions, and for believers, spiritual gifts even. He says we differ as far as what God has gifted us with. God designed each of us to be who we are. You're weird because God makes you the weird you are. I'm not looking at Pastor Jim, but he knows I'm done. We're all unique. I don't want to say snowflake because that's a bad now. You're a snowflake, you're a sissy or whatever. You're unique because God designed you to be completely different in different ways. A different combination of this. And maybe he says, you know what? You're not going to have number 5, Kevin. Not much of it anyway. We'll let you walk, kind of. But we'll give you something else, right? But everyone has a different combination, and even you'll be different than your siblings, your parents, your children, your cousins. I have a cousin that went through ranger school, and he came home and visited, not a cousin, a nephew. He came home and visited this week, his parents up in the Slater area or Polk City. The guy's like totally buff. Where does he get that? I don't know, right? I don't know either, right? But part of it, he's working out. But God gave him a very athletic body, a body of a warrior, I might add. He's over in Korea, so he came home for the holidays. Though we may desire to be different, who among us does not wish to be better in an area which we have no or little natural ability? And we can appreciate others who excel beyond our abilities. We are to focus upon what we have been designed for. We are not to allow ourselves to be discouraged or disabled because we desire to be something God has not made us to be. Pastor Jim and I are okay not playing the piano, and let us tell you, you're very okay with us not playing the piano. On purpose, God made us that way. We are to glorify God by using what abilities we do have, not by excusing our inactivity, by complaining about the abilities we do not possess. Fair? So what if you can't vertically jump more than 6 inches? I just pulled that out of my head because I think that's about all I can jump. You're not made for that then. God didn't make you for that. Now, that doesn't mean if you're athletic, you can't increase your athleticism. If you're not musical, you can increase your musical ability. Whether you have it or not, you can all learn something. Some of us just are, you know, each one of us, I believe, is designed differently to do different things and have different passions. Just the way God makes us. But that's mental abilities. I think of the back in your notes here in number 5, the craftsman for the temple. If you have your Bibles, turn to Exodus 28 here. when I shrink things down to a half sheet, Exodus 28, this gives me an idea. God did it more specifically here for the men who worked on the tabernacle stuff, but I believe this is true of anyone. Exodus 28, I used to tell Sean when he was in seminary that it's in the Old Testament. Verse 3, so you shall speak to all who are gifted artisans. Moses is commanding, or God is commanding Moses to do this. You talk to all the people that are gifted artisans, so they recognize that an artistic capacity, whom I have filled with the spirit of wisdom, that they may make Aaron's garments to consecrate him, that he may minister to me as a priest. So there's one, that's just an example, not a list. And then chapter 31, verse 3. Here is Bezalel, the son of Uri, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah. That's verse 2. God says this, and I have filled him with the Spirit of God in wisdom and understanding, in knowledge and in all manner of workmanship, to design artistic works, to work in gold and silver and bronze and cutting jewels, for setting and carving wood, to work in all manner of workmanship. Now, God did something extra special for him to design the whole tabernacle and to create the tabernacle under God's design. But God gifts everyone in different ways. You might not be able to, and I certainly couldn't, build a tabernacle. God has not gifted me with that capacity. But I'm saying He's gifted you and I with a mix of capacities to be able to do things. And yes, you can't do everything. No. And no, you can't do everything. But yes, you can do all that God wants you to do. You have capacities and you have abilities, and it's not, you know, a 20-foot jump shot swishing in the center, maybe, because that's bodily kinesthetic intelligence, but maybe it's something else, right? And I guarantee you it's something else. Maybe it's the ability to care for people. Maybe it's the ability to pray for people, and I'm only just scratching the surface, because it isn't just one thing. I believe you can do all kinds of things because of what God has made you to be able to do. And you're an amazing mix by God's design. Yes, you're tainted with sin. Yes, you're limited, finite by human ability, but also sinful capacity. We're damaged goods. But even then, we're created in the image of God, and we have capacity to do more than we think. And just because we can't do something over here doesn't mean that God hasn't gifted us over here. And we're not to look over here and say, just because I can't do that means I can't do anything. Find out what God has put you here for. What are you good at? What are you passionate about? And that may end up being your hobby, not your job. Right? Just because you like to do something doesn't mean you're going to be able to earn a living at it or do something. But it still makes you who you are. I never knew I liked history till I started working on genealogy, and now I really enjoy history. Right? Okay, spiritual gifts. Romans 12 and 1 Corinthians 12 list those. We're not going to go there today. But if you're a believer, God says He's given you one or more spiritual gifts that makes you even more unique in that way. Spiritual gifts, listen closely, are enhancements by the Holy Spirit to take something that you're required to do anyway and be able to do it better to help encourage the body in that direction. How many believers are supposed to be, for example, givers? Every believer is supposed to be giving of their money that they earn to God. Right? The Bible clearly teaches that. But God says there's this spiritual gift of giving. And it might be someone that doesn't have a lot of money but sees people's needs and understands how they might be able to meet those needs and help other people to meet those needs, right? That might be how that works. Same with teaching. Everyone is told to teach and admonish one another. But there's a spiritual gift of teaching that's a capacity, enhanced capacity, to be able to do that. Right? So I believe there's six or seven spiritual gifts. It depends on how you slice them. And Romans 12 is, I think, a limited list that Romans is toward the end of the New Testament era, and most of the temporary gifts had already gone away. But we have spiritual gifts, and they're intended to be used. I think of David. He had athletic ability, music ability, shepherding ability. He had leadership ability. He had a logic to him, and he was a writer. We always think, well, I'm a cool dude, and I don't sing. Well, David was cool. He was a warrior. He was an athlete of athletes, and he sung. He wrote music. Right? So, I mean, it isn't just one or the other oftentimes. And I'm not suggesting everyone can write music, but I'm saying don't limit yourself to say, I can only do this. Try other things out. But also don't say, just because I'm not good at math doesn't mean you're not good at something else. Don't measure it by the world's standard. Okay? That doesn't mean, kids, you don't have to do your math homework. You know who I'm talking to. I'm just kidding. I'm not. Okay, number six. We probably won't finish these all tonight, but I'm going to keep going here. My time in history. How many wished at some time in your life that you wish you could have been born in another era?
Some of us were.
Pastor Jim's pet was a dinosaur. I'm just saying. Most of my kids think that I probably am a dinosaur. So. Different times. I thought, well, it would be cool to grow up or whatever. Yeah, but do you know the average lifespan of the people then were 50-some years old? Or 40-some years old? How would you like to, you know, live during, I grew up watching, some of you probably don't even know who I'm talking about, the Waltons. It's loosely based on a true story. I mean, loosely based, like, oh yeah, there was a family, right? But I thought that was so cool. But what a hard time. They went through what? World War II. They had people dying on them. And, you know, if you got hurt, you had to go to the big, big city to get well and stuff like that. It was horrible. Or even when you wish you could grow up in earlier America, and it's like, that would have been horrible in ways. How would you like to grow up in the Civil War era? What is it? One out of every five people were injured or killed in the Civil War, in some way, directly or indirectly. We've never faced that in the United States ever, and not in our time. We lost in the first Gulf War. I forget what it was called.
Desert Storm.
I think the whole deployment and everything, it totaled like 3,000 people. And most of those were accidents, not war injuries. Understand that. We fought 100 hours and it was over. But all the deployment leading up to it and afterward. But 3,000 people, there were 50,000 people that got killed or injured at Gettysburg in a 3-day period. Antietam, I think, lost 26,000 in a day. That's larger than most cities in Iowa in a day. So, in fact, 50,000, Gettysburg, was the amount we lost in all the years we fought in Vietnam. All the years. So lots of stuff there. Time in history. God placed you in this time. It's a tumultuous time. It's not a stable time, as you've noticed. It's kind of like we're on the tipping point in the United States, it seems like. There's a group that totally denies God. I'm not saying the other group totally embraces God. That would be ignorant of me to say. But I mean, there's one group that just, anything that stands for truth, they're against. And others don't seem to care too much, but they're for the truth as long as it's convenient and comfortable, right? But it's a difficult time. It's also a time, though, that we live in a time of great affluence. You probably don't. Everyone here is rich. Very rich. Compared to other people. How many people own a car? Your family owns a car. Well, yeah, Nathan. Yeah, Nathan owns a car. Good for you. How many own more than one car? Raise your hand. Your family does. Raise your hand. If you're in that family, raise your hand. Some people, it's like a stinking parking lot, right? We didn't have two cars growing up. Till I don't know, it was later on. Because no one ever thought of having two cars. Because no one could afford two cars. Right? Just that whole era. And now, the amount of money people make, and you have all kinds of stuff. How many here have a cell phone? Raise your hand high, would you? Don't be shy. How many have a cell phone? How much does it cost per month? It isn't free, Lynn. Someone's paying for it, right? Right? The work's paying for it. I'm saying no one would have thought or dared to think to pay the average person's bill for a cell phone. When I was growing up, that would have been totally out. What in the world are you talking about? And I'm even talking adjusted costs and all of that. A lot of people have all this extra stuff. And if you don't have cell phones, do you have video games? Do you have color televisions? Do you have the internet? How many here have the internet at your house? Raise your hand. How much does it cost for the internet? I guarantee you it costs more than people ever paid for a phone growing up. And it's just like extra money. We afford all kinds of things that no one ever heard of, and we're affluent. How many restaurants? I go home this way, right? East, I'm pointing east. I hate Wednesday nights. My kids hear me whining all the way home. Why do you think? Because I haven't eaten supper yet. That's standard on Wednesdays. Not because I'm not ready, just busy. But there's like a bazillion restaurants between here and home, and it's even worse for you guys, I think. Though not much, because once you make the turn, there's not many restaurants, right? Though, if you stop at the right time, Porter's Hardware has free popcorn. I'm just saying, when you're hungry, little things matter. Okay? But I'm saying, how do you think they all stay open? The average, I don't think we're that average here as a group, but the average, Jane was reading the other day, but the average family eats like almost no meals at home. Where do they get that money? Do you think we're not affluent? I told you about my friend Emo in Farmer City, Illinois, and he said there's only like one or two restaurants in the whole city he came from because no one there can afford to eat out at all. They have no money. And we think people stop by. I don't see how people afford to go to McDonald's. I eat off the dollar menu if I go to McDonald's because I'm cheap, but I try to be a good steward too. But I look at a meal and it's like $8 McDonald's. I don't see how people afford to go there anyway, but people go there all the time. It's busy, it's full, right? We're affluent. We live in a culture in our setting and maybe even over the world to some degree where we have so much. We really do. And I know you don't believe that you're rich, but you're filthy rich compared to most people throughout all of history for what you have because you were born in this time and in this place. Makes a difference. We're also growing closer to Christ's return. There's a growing apostasy. This is underneath number six here. The political environment, at least in the United States, but it's true in different eras and different times and different places. But I would say the upheaval that we're experiencing in the United States is all over the world. What country passed legalized abortion in recent history that is probably one of the most earth-shattering things that ever happened.
Ireland.
No one would have dreamed that Ireland would have done it because they were so Catholic and so... not that they're all Catholics. But a traditional Catholic view would say abortion's wrong, and a traditional Protestant view would say that too. But I'm saying they approved it. It's like it's all over the world. It's not just a little bubble here in the United States. It's impacted everywhere. So my time in history, greater temptations. We've said that too. Remember the Waltons I mentioned? How many have ever seen the Waltons? Because, I mean, some of you have no idea. John Boy. They would go to, like, the big city for bad. You ever heard of, like, the red light district or something? You didn't have that in a small town. There was no such thing. You might have had a bar in a small town. But you had to go to the big city to get in any kind of trouble at all. Now we can have it in our living rooms 24/7. The internet, streaming media. You watch stuff on television that they would have kicked you out of church for 40 years ago. It's true. You know, they wouldn't play it in the theaters because it was so bad, because someone swore in it. What's the movie I'm talking about? Gone with the Wind. There was one swear word. Now that's a family-friendly movie. We live in times that have been greatly impacted. We live in a very dark time that has sin on tap. Okay? Increase in knowledge. If you don't know something, what do? You Google it. You don't have to go to school anymore. You can learn anything you want on the internet. How many here have fixed something at your house after you watch a YouTube video? How many wish you would have watched that YouTube video before you tried to fix? I'm telling you, right? I'm saying, like, I'm like, there's no way there would be a YouTube video for this car, replacing this carport in my old van. Sure enough, it's like, I have to choose which one I want to watch. It's like, who has the time? They're making money, right? But I'm like, it makes sense to me. Everyone here thinks it's easy to know stuff now. And by the way, it's a false perception, and because you have access to it, you think you know it. Why do I need to know it if I can look it up? The Bible says we need to know it so we can meditate on it, right? Again, it's a different culture, a different world. And even events, there's all kinds of the events that happen in your time. If I say 9/11, most of you don't even... How many here were alive 9/11/2001? 2001? Raise your hand if you're born on or after 9/11/2001. Raise your hand if you're born after that time. Raise your hand. Some of you guys need exercise because you're like dying. Oh, I can't breathe. Right? But if... anybody else, it's like 9/11 and everybody knows what you're talking about. That was a lifestyle changing event. I'm going to work and I hear about the one, right? Driving downtown, and they think at first it's an accident, a little plane hit a building. And then that's what they first reported. It was a private plane. So how does someone hit a building like that, you know? And then I go to work. I was working at the principal downtown at the time. And they had this control center with these big televisions and stuff, because they had the track stuff, because they have business all over the world, right? And we're sitting there watching. And I'm listening on the radio. They're reporting. And while I'm on my way to work, the other one hits. And all of a sudden they're like, two in a row is not an accident, right? Then everybody starts figuring out. And then I'm there at work watching the in real time as the these huge, massive tower buildings, 110 stories. They're three times taller than our tallest building here. Just crumbling to nothing, right? Changes your viewpoint on everything, and it changes. But there's been events, different kinds of events all through history like that. And you get conquered, or you conquer, or whatever. All of that makes a difference. You have a particular time in history. You happen to be in one of the most comfortable, convenient, safe times in history up to this point. It's kind of turning because people are rejecting God and God's the truth. I don't want to say God's truth because that makes it sound like there's more than one truth. There's only truth and falsehood, right? But that's been true all the way through history from Cain and Abel. Even in the Garden of Eden, God asked Adam, why did you listen to your wife rather than do what I told you to do? Right? It's a choice. But all of the events make a difference. How many here grew up and people had guns in the back of their pickup? I did. People just had them racked in the back of their truck.
At school.
Yeah, you're driving to school and the kids all, you know, they have their shotgun in the rack of their pickup at school. Now, someone tears a piece of bread so it looks like a pistol. I mean, it kind of looks, how do you make a piece of bread look like a pistol? But it's kind of shaped like, and they get kicked out of school for 3 days. Right? We live in a strange culture. And the stuff that people used to get kicked out of school for back then, now the teachers are worse than that. Right? It's not a good time to live, but at the same time, that's the time that God has put you in. Right? It's not an accident that Jan is here. I picked on her. But God meant her to be here in this place, in this time. Just like He meant all of us to be. You're not 100 years late or 100 years early. You're right on time for when God wanted you here. As much as you think it might have been neat to, you know, cross the prairie or whatever, God has you here for a reason. And that doesn't mean you can't study about the past. Like I said, I enjoy studying parts of the past. But God has you in this place at this time for a reason. Your time in history is not controlled by you. It was determined by God. So be thankful and embrace what God has given you. Not wishing that you were from a different time or a different place or you were shaped or built differently or you had different abilities or whatever. Nothing wrong with evaluating what you have. And I think it'd be kind of cool. I could think of some places I'd like to be temporarily in history. I'd like to come back home to sleep and to have frozen pizza, right? Amen? And bacon, like we have bacon today. Oh, man. But it's, I must have not eaten supper, right? But you're here. And all of the things that God has designed, your family and all of that up to this point, we've covered up the time of history. God made you that way on purpose. So embrace what God has done. Thank God for what God has done. And you don't have to say, well, God, you didn't make me perfect. And it's like, we talked about this last week. Paul said that God gave him some kind of weakness or disability or something. I probably lean more toward his eyesight went out or went bad. So he couldn't see well. But maybe some people think it might have been his hands or something. But God said, no, my strength is made perfect in what? Not perfection and weakness. God said weakness. So serve God with in the midst of your imperfection. Right? And if you don't know what your imperfections are, there's always lots of people who will point those out for you. So, questions or comments? I'm glad I live now. I would never have dreamed that now would be like now, even when I was growing up. But now is amazing. So, triple burgers. I don't think I've ever had a triple burger. Just what? Somebody's hungry. All right, let's pray. Lord, thank you for caring for us. Thank you for your hand in our lives, that you, in many, many ways, have already orchestrated so many things. And Lord, we haven't even talked about our gender that you determined before we were ever conceived, what we would be. Lord, the way our bodies are designed and our mental capacities and our relatives, our parents and our siblings, all of that is designed by you. And help us, Lord, to affirm and embrace your decision rather than to question and rebel against it. Lord, you made us this way on purpose. Help us to live out your purpose in glorifying you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.